everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Eric Horn. I am in a hotel, right up the street from Madison Square Garden in Times Square. And the Thunder has lost tonight, snapping a two-game winning streak. Seems like they can only get together either two or three. Three is rare. I think it's happened twice this season. But final score tonight, Thunder loses to the New York Knickerbockers. Oh, take a big yawn there because it's late here on the East Coast. It's about 2:36. Final score tonight for the Thunder. Knicks win 111-96. You know, this was just a flat Thunder performance. There wasn't a lot of juice in the Garden, which was actually surprising to me, considering it was Melo's return to the Garden for the first time since he'd been traded to the Thunder in the preseason. What was curious to me was kind of the back and forth reaction of the Knicks fans tonight. To set the scene, you know, they introduced the four Thunder players besides Melo in the starting lineup, and then they get to Melo and they cut the lights. And then this video montage comes up on the screen, and it's all of Melo's big shots as a Knicks player, his community work, 62-point game. There's a lot of cool stuff on this video, and it was a fitting tribute to a guy who's going to be a Hall of Famer someday. And, you know, the fans cheered, big ovation, and then as soon as he touched the ball, that's a wrap. Boos, big boos. And, you know, Carmelo said he understood that in postgame. He understood getting booed the same way that Paul George said that he was going to understand if he got booed when he came back to Indiana. He did get booed earlier this week. The difference was this was a loss. This was a bad Thunder loss. And it was a Thunder loss that was bad from a standpoint of they didn't look particularly – invested in winning, and you can attribute that to a bunch of things. You can attribute that to third game in four nights. These guys are tired. They're on the road. They were coming off of, you know, a triple overtime game in which the starters played heavy minutes with Andre Robertson being Andre Robertson being the guy who played the least amount of those minutes. I think he had 33. Westbrook being the guy who played the most, he had 52. Steven Adams played 50 minutes in the win against the Sixers on Friday, the first side of the back-to-back. But guess what? Steven Adams didn't play on Saturday night because he got a concussion from Joel Embiid in that game in overtime. So, the Thunder goes in a man down. They start Dakari Johnson. Now, you were thinking to yourself, like, okay, this is going to be a problem. Ennis Kanter is going to work Dakari Johnson over. Ennis Kanter is going to get busy on the inside and kill these guys because Ennis Kanter is going to eat rebounds because Steven Adams isn't there. You know, Ennis Kanter wasn't the guy who did the damage tonight. He got played off the floor. They couldn't play Ennis Kanter a ton of minutes because they were getting him in a pick and roll. Sound familiar? Kanter only played 23 minutes tonight. He had 10 points. He had 5 rebounds. That's kind of Kanter off the bench Thunder production. Kanter's a starter for this team, and you'd expect more from him, but it wasn't him that was killing the Thunder tonight. It was everybody else on the perimeter, and Michael Beasley attacking inside and out. You know, Michael Beasley was Melo's pseudo assignment tonight at times. Some at power forward, some at small forward, and Beasley, you know, won that battle. Well, Beasley ended up having 30 points on 11 of 18, 2 of 2 from 3. And, you know, he kind of started a trend for this Knicks team that was really shooting the 3-ball well. They shot 14 of 23 from 3 for 60%. The Thunder's defense had no answer for this Knicks team from the outside. Ron Baker had 3 threes for the Knicks. Doug McDermott, former Thunder, had 3 threes for the Knicks. 13 points for him. The Knicks were super efficient. The Thunder had some communication issues on their closeouts of the three-point line. And I think you can attribute a little bit of that to fatigue. I think you can attribute a little bit of that of these guys just kind of not having interest in this game on the last game of a three-game road trip, second night of a back-to-back after a triple overtime win. So there's a little bit to be excused, but at the same time, you know, this was a Knicks team that didn't have its top two scorers. Tim Hardaway was out with an injury, and, you know, future All-Star Kristaps Porzingis was out with an injury, who he was scratched at game time. So this was an opportunity for the Thunder to get a win when they haven't been good on the road all season, and they chalk up their 11th road loss of the season. You know, it was a game where the Thunder definitely had an opportunity to come away with a win, could have swept this road trip, which I did not anticipate happening. But they just looked like their legs were not there tonight. And again, you can go back to that triple overtime and not having Steven Adams, a guy who's a really important piece of that back end in terms of defensive rotations, in which the Thunder was scrambled a lot on the Knicks' three-pointers tonight, the 14 that they made. But, you know, Patrick Patterson actually filled in well defensively. Nick Collison came in, and he wasn't bad. So it was a situation where the Thunder's offense let them down in a certain regard too tonight. Now, the good side for the Thunder's offense, 12 of 27 from three, 44%. That's really good. You got a good game from Patrick Patterson, who is really starting to come on in the last seven games. I think by my count tonight, he is a guy who has made better than 50% of his threes in the last seven games. And he's not just shooting one a game. This is a guy who shot about 24 threes in the past seven games, and he's hitting, I think, 12 or 13 of those. So Patterson, the guy who tonight said he's felt better than he's felt since he got his arthroscopic knee surgery in August, that's a good sign for the Thunder. This was a guy who was supposed to start for them, remember, at power forward. He's not a Carmelo Anthony offensively, but he's a guy who moves the ball quickly. He's not hesitant on offense. He makes quick decisions. He gets rid of the ball. Either he's passing it and cutting and moving or setting a screen, or he's immediately firing up that three. And he's been getting himself in the corner. He's been getting himself in the corner again, which is a spot that he's been traditionally good from in his career. I think the last 2 years he's averaged about 41% from the corner three for Toronto. So I was really wanting him to get back in the corner and find that corner three again. And I think he's starting to find it now in the Thunder's offense. Russell Westbrook found him a couple times and you know, starting to pay dividends. He had 12 points tonight on 4-6 shooting. And it's not just his offense that's been good defensively. You know, tonight he has 2 steals, 2 blocks, 5 rebounds. So Patrick Patterson chipped in 24 minutes and did a good job. Not a great game from Paul George tonight. He was a minus 20. You know, 4-7 from three is fine. 6-14 from the field. Close to his season average and field goal percentage, which is far below his career average. He only shot 42.8% tonight. 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and a block for 18 points. But it didn't seem like the It didn't seem like the impactful Paul George offensive performance you're used to seeing. He was really disruptive defensively, as he always is. He's going to be a defensive player of the year candidate. Russell Westbrook got back on the better side of his shooting tonight. 9 of 18 from the field, 7 of 10 from the line, which is, you know, about what Westbrook is shooting for the year in terms of free throws, 69%. But it was a good shooting night for Westbrook, but he had some costly turnovers in the second half. Only ended up with 4, but there were some costly ones there in the second half, like bobbling the ball. He looked a little disjointed offensively as he was trying to find his shot. Didn't look in rhythm off the dribble. Probably would have been better for him to pass off and then move again. He did a couple of times, and he found Patterson for some threes, and he found a couple guys for threes like Paul George and Patterson. But you know, a better game from Westbrook, considering he was coming off of a game where he wound up with a really inefficient 27 points. It was 10 of 33 from the line against Philly, and did all the other things on the floor that you wanted to do: rebound, assists, play some timely defense. I wouldn't say great, but timely defense against the Sixers the night before in 52 minutes. Only 35 for Westbrook tonight, but a good effort from him considering how many minutes he played the previous night. The real issue is Carmelo Anthony, and this was a game we were coming into, and I was thinking to myself, like, this could go one of two ways. Like, coming off of the great shooting performance he had the night before, where he shot around 64%, it was one of his, I think it was his best shooting night field goal percentage-wise of the entire season. It was 64.7% against Philly. He was 11 of 17. I was thinking to myself, okay, either this guy, fired his shot early, spent it all on Philadelphia, and he's not going to have anything left for the Knicks because he played 40-plus minutes against Philadelphia, or he's going to come into the Knicks game really charged up, make some shots, and then eventually take too many bad shots, and then we'll see the thing fall off a cliff. The second part was what happened on Saturday night. Anthony finished with 12 points, 5 of 18 from the field for 27.8%. Did not get to the line, had 5 rebounds. He was 2 of 4 from 3, but he started 3 of 6 from the field, and that was in the first quarter. As I said, hit that first 3, crowd goes crazy. immediately after, they were booing him, which was a weird turn. It was almost like the same people who were booing him were cheering him, because the sound changed really quickly. It wasn't like there were a bunch of people who were cheering him that were just kind of sitting dormantly. It switched really quickly. But after that, he goes 2 of 12. You know, it seemed like he was trying to force some shots on the baseline. Players like to revert back to, oh, that's a shot I usually make. Shots just didn't fall. But we've seen this time and time again this year. The shots that don't come within the flow of the offense for Carmelo Anthony, the isolation shots. The Thunder is one of the most isolation-heavy teams in the league. Tonight, it wasn't working for Carmelo Anthony. It was early. And we've seen him also, make the extra pass at times. He did in particular in the Philly game. I thought he really made a conscious effort to make the extra pass. But we've seen it time and time again. I think there's a distinct lack of self-awareness when it comes to shot selection, how many shots these guys should be taking, and time and place of when they should be taking certain shots. Anthony was also pressing once he got to the third quarter. The Thunder tied it up 56-56. I thought he was pressing on offense. He committed 2 offensive fouls. That kind of killed the Thunder's momentum at times where they really needed to keep their composure and get some quality possessions. Sometimes those offensive fouls can go either way. One, he was really deep in the paint, and he tried to turn and score, but he ended up elbowing his defender in the face. And then another one was a push-off on the wing, which he probably shouldn't have done because it resulted in the Knicks getting a 3-point play on the other end because Nick Collison fouled a 3-point shooter. I guess he had to make up for Alex Sabrina's not doing it tonight. Anyway, it's just a problem that's just plaguing the Thunder. Poor shot selection, primarily with Carmelo Anthony, and a lack of self-awareness as to, when's it going to stop? When do these guys saying the right thing, when is it going to convert into consistently doing the right thing? Carmelo Anthony had a really interesting quote tonight, and I guess I'll pat myself on the back a little bit for this one. It was the last question of his media session, and what they usually do is they do the media sessions in the locker room, and everybody just gathers around maybe like a whiteboard or a locker, and they just fire questions at they fire questions at the stars. But tonight was a little different. Carmelo had so much media attention coming back to the Knicks, the place he played for so long, that they set him up in kind of a playoff style table podium setting, and everybody gathered up into a room, and we all asked some questions. So it was tough to get questions off, but the last question, it was kind of a playoff of another question that was asked in Melo had mentioned a couple of different times throughout the press conference about the players and their roles and his role. And I was curious to just ask him, like, yo, like, what is your role? Like, because, you know, he was brought in here with the idea that he would be a guy who could make the spot up three, and he would benefit from playing with Russell Westbrook, from playing from Paul George, and he would be able to be that guy who's quote-unquote Olympic Melo that can be a prolific three-point shooter when he's hitting him off of spot-ups. Not necessarily off the dribble. A guy who, you know, catch and shoot. But he didn't really specify, you know, a role. And this is the terrifying thing to me. And I'm going to read the quote word for word. I asked him about, you know, his role on this team and what he thinks his role is. And then what is he being instructed to do? And what is his role being instructed to him to be, you know, from the coaching staff? Sorry about that cough, y'all. And this is what Melo said. I think that's what we have to figure out, what we have to nail down as far as the role that we all have on this team. I think that until we figure that part out, we're going to continue to have these ups and downs, continue having good games, having bad games, relying just upon our talent, our skill level to get us through. But if we want to win big, we all have to, and I mean everybody, not just myself, Russ, Paul, the whole team, we need to sit down and figure out what it is each and every one of our roles – wait – figure out what is each and every one of our roles on this team. Okay. Look, that quote sounds really good, and it's really it's really wise. It's a wise quote, but I don't think it's self-aware, because I think the problem is that Melo, while he might be being instructed to, you know, be a spot-up guy and to be a guy who can go out and make shots, I don't think that he's wired to have discretion with the shots that he takes. So if his role is to be a discretionary shot taker, to be a guy who moves the ball, to be a spot-up three-point shooter, and he's not executing that role but just talking about finding his role, like, I think – I'm pretty sure that Carmelo Anthony and these guys on their team have a directive as how they're supposed to play. Now, we've heard them talk about time and time again – you know, that's a shot I've taken my entire career. Or Billy Donovan says that's a shot these guys taken their entire career. We don't want to take that away from them. That's fine. But not all of these guys can have the shots that they had their entire career, because there's one more of them on the team. You have three guys that ranked in the top 10 in isolation possessions last year, or isolation points last season. They can't be the same guys that they were the previous seasons. And that's what you're seeing from Carmelo Anthony. He's still the same guy. And, you know, habits are really, really hard to break. Russell Westbrook's still the same guy. He's still going to take some crazy jump shots every now and then. He's still going to take some three-pointers now and then, although I think you've seen him try to have discretion in that. Paul George is the same guy. He's still going to step into 18-footers off the dribble and think that he can do a lot of things on his own when he really shouldn't. And I think you've seen Paul George, you know, he was a facilitator at times against the Knicks. He tried to, you know, drive and kick and make that extra pass, and he did a pretty good job of that. I think you've seen that Carmelo Anthony is clearly the same guy. You know, he's shooting almost career lows from the field and really struggling with his shot, yet he's still taking some of the similar shots that he's been taking his entire career. So you got to take some of those off the table if you're going to be able to fit into a role. And, you know, it's frustrating to watch, I know, for people at home, because you hear these guys say the things that they should be doing consistently. And I think that at the same time, we underestimate how difficult it is to do this on the fly over like 27 or 28 games, and I don't have a limit on games. Don't ask me how many games it's going to take for this thing to click, because frankly, I don't know, and frankly, I don't know if it's ever going to click. But I think at the same time, the deeper you get into the season and the more you see other teams be able to figure out how this thing is going to work with new players, the things that continue to be said just start to kind of fall on deaf ears. And you know, the podcast is at exactly 20 minutes now. I'm getting tired, but I'm going to close with a couple of quotes from Carmelo Anthony, and see if, you know, there's anything there as well. I thought that this was a particularly this was a particular quote that lacked self-awareness from Carmelo Anthony. And I don't want to pile all on Carmelo Anthony. Russell Westbrook was a guy who kind of just deflected tonight too, and said when somebody asked him about, you know, their shooting and you know, being able to make adjustments offensively in games, I think Russell Westbrook just said, "We're fine," which is a cop out too. They're not fine. It's 28 games. They're not fine. I think they are eventually going to make more shots, but they're still not fine because they still revert to a particular style of basketball. Even when things are going well, we saw it against Indiana when Steven Adams was destroying Indiana in the pick and roll, and Westbrook was doing a good job of finding him. And then, you know, you go a few possessions and then somebody, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, will just say, "Oh, it's my turn to shoot. I'll step into an 18-footer with a guy contesting me. It's not a big deal, but I haven't shot in a while, so it's time." That's not good enough. It's not good enough to beat the elite teams in the NBA to be undisciplined. So, to close, Carmelo Anthony was asked a good question about his shots and you know, him shooting poorly this season, and whether or not an adjustment needs to be made, or simply that the shots aren't falling. And he kind of just gave like a flat answer, and he kind of said it as like he was smiling while he said it. He said, "They're not falling." And then he kind of laughed. Then he goes on to say, and this is the part that really kind of cracked me up, "I don't think the word is struggling." No, the word struggling, you're struggling, Carmelo. You're shooting, you know, career lows from the field. You're not making free throws either. Okay, moving on. "Some nights they go, some nights they don't. Is it a different situation for me? Yes, that's true. Different dynamics for me? Yes, that's true too. It's something that I have to accept. It's something that I work on every day as far as my role on the team and what we need from me in order for this team to be successful." That's what led to me asking the question about role. "Right now, going through an up and down, we won some games, lost some games, trying to put some games together early in the season. It's a bigger picture. That's my goal. That's our goal. To look at the bigger picture and not be disappointed or be down in a game or two when shots don't fall right now. Because our goal is much bigger than just right now." See, this is the problem I have with that quote. It's that, because our goal is much bigger than just right now, but right now is when the habits are developed that will make you potentially great in the bigger picture. Like, you can't get to the bigger picture if you're not doing the right things right now. And we've seen a little bit of it, but we haven't seen enough. Okay, way too philosophical for the Thunder Buddies podcast tonight. That's just me, my two cents. Thanks for joining us once again. We will be back after the game against Denver on Monday at home. I'm Eric Horn. Brett Dawson will join me on Monday. You can download us on your Apple Podcast. Please do rate us. Do whatever you got to do. Rate us 5 stars. Love you for life. Rate us 1. Kick rocks. But download it. Love it. We keep track of those numbers. We appreciate your support. And we will see you after the Denver game on Monday.